Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nestled on the banks of the Allegheny River.
All right, count them up. How many strokes? What'd you get?
The U.S. Open is at Oakmont Country Club this week.
8 or 9. I'll give you an 8.
What'd you get?
I got an 8.
This is a U.S. Open week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Dead heat after one hole. Turning into quite a rivalry.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hi, it's hour two of our radio program today, where you know, we've got some cool stuff coming up for you.
All right,
as far as you know,
we do. We like cool stuff.
I was going to present you with a list,
okay,
that I found informative.
List me
today.
Or am
well,
I guessing?
We, you know, I don't. I mean, I don't know. You can guess if you want, but there's so much movement with transfers now in college football.
Yeah.
That it's just kind of hard to keep up.
I don't feel like, at least off the top of my head, and I don't know every quarterback situation, but, you know, I'd say the top 15 to 20, I got a good idea who's the starting quarterback. And a lot of them, it's either, you know, freshmen, like Oregon, Ohio State, both have freshmen coming through, or returning guys. I don't really know a lot of marquee schools that went down the transfer. Miami does. Miami has Carson Beck. He's a big transfer, but I don't feel like this offseason was as you know, transfer heavy. Mateer at Oklahoma wasn't as transfer heavy as the last couple.
So these are the top 10 best QB rooms entering the 2025 season. Now, room, so it's not just starters, it's the whole room.
And that's all I could go off of as starters. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend to know who the backup quarterback at Florida is, but, you know, DJ Lagaway is, I'm assuming that Florida is up there, because if you have a returning quarterback, I'm assuming that gives you a big leg up in the quarterback room when you have a starter. And then I would assume every one of those schools that's a top 15 school probably has a 4 to 5 star kid that's sitting on the bench waiting to be
well,
the guy.
Just off the top of your head, who is the best returning quarterback in college football?
Well, you're probably, people are going to say Arch Manning, which makes no sense to me.
Texas, because, not on the list.
Good. Finally, someone with some sense.
And this is, by the way, this is from Pro Football Focus.
Okay. So returning guys, you're going to have Jennings at SMU,
yep,
who was a playoff quarterback.
He was good.
You're going to have Leavitt at Arizona State, who was a playoff quarterback.
Yep.
You're going to have Aller, who was a playoff quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else that's coming back. I mentioned Lagaway. Klubnik at Clemson.
Klubnik's a big one.
Is coming back.
Iowa State kid was pretty decent. Beck or Rocco Beck. Becht, thank you. Yeah, he was pretty decent.
Is he back?
They're
not on here.
Sellers, the South Carolina kid, they damn near made the playoff.
I thought he left.
No, I think Lenora Sellers is back.
Is he?
I'm fairly certain that he didn't go anywhere, and that was a borderline one. I'm trying to think of, and then we mentioned Carson Beck. Are we missing?
Yeah, you're missing one.
I'm missing one big one.
Yeah.
Ohio State, some
may think he's the best returning quarterback in the country.
Oh my God, who am I? Because Ohio State's got a new kid. They're going with the is it Sayan or whatever?
Yeah.
Ty Simpson at Alabama, who's a Notre Dame's got a young guy. Who the hell am I missing?
Let's go on this journey together. So they have Texas as honorable mention.
Okay.
Expectations are through the roof for Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Behind him, you have a pair of former four-star kids, redshirt freshman Trey Owens and true freshman KJ Lacy.
Okay.
Each were top 20 QB recruits in their high school classes. Okay. Number 10 is Ohio State.
Yeah.
There is redshirt freshman Julian Sand. He's the favorite to start, but we don't know yet.
No.
He was a top 10 overall recruit in 2024.
And he's a guy like some recruits you've heard of. And again, I'm not completely dialed into recruiting, but he is a name that you heard on the recruiting trail.
You also have a top four recruit from the 2025 cycle. He's a true freshman, Tavian St. Clair. Mm. Redshirt sophomore Lincoln Kineholz was the top 15 kid in 2023, and those are the three quarterbacks at Ohio State.
And that's what I was kind of my point with a school like Ohio State or Bama or whatever. There's just every one of those schools is going to have at least one, if not multiple kids that at one point were considered the guy. And then when they don't work out at Ohio State and then they don't get on the field, they'll go somewhere else. I would also like to point out that Joe Burrow couldn't sniff the field at Ohio State. Turns out Joe Burrow, pretty good.
Alabama's number 9. They have 2 5-star kids. One is redshirt junior Ty Simpson, former 5-star. He's expected to be their starter. But true freshman Keelon Russell is a 5-star as well. He was the number 2 overall kid in the 2025 class.
That's the old Nick Saban said, hey, if you don't like to compete, don't come here. Because I don't care how good you were in high school, there's another kid that was as good that's pushing for your job.
Number 8 is Auburn because they got Jackson Arnold, who was the former star or former quarterback at Oklahoma.
I forgot about that.
He was a 5-star kid.
Yeah.
He will be their starter. Also, Ashton Daniels will be the backup. He was the starter at Stanford each of the last 2 seasons. So, good little quarterback room.
Yeah, there's the transfer portal. I kind of slept on Auburn a little bit.
They also have a true freshman 5-star kid by the name of Deuce Knight, which is a kick-ass name.
Deuce Knight.
Number 7, Penn State, Drew Aller. He will be backed up by Ethan Grunkmeyer. He is a redshirt freshman.
Well, they had, I forget the kid's name, but he came in and played a little bit. He's more of a mobile guy. They had a really good backup, and some people thought during the middle of the year that he should be the guy because Aller was a little shaky at times. And he's the one that I think left in the middle of the playoff run because he was like, and I don't remember where he landed, but he bolted out of there because he was like, look, I got to find a spot because Aller was coming back. And, you know, that's kind of the tough part about these QB rooms, that if you've got a guy that can play a little bit and shows he can play a little bit, it's like the fact that Arch Manning's still at Texas is mind-blowing.
That was Bo Prabula. He's at Missouri.
Okay.
Oh, he went to Missouri.
Yeah, he went to Missouri. And that's my point. Like,
loser.
Penn State would probably have the best quarterback room in the country, but their backup, who they were really high on, you can't keep him. He's like, dude, I'm out of here. Probably got $1 million to go play at Missouri.
So they have Aller, and then Drunkmeyer was a top 10 quarterback in the class of 2024. So he's inexperienced.
Drew Aller, to me, is my big prove it. Like, I'm not a Drew Aller guy. I think he's been a ton of hype. But last year, there was some promise. They won playoff games. Supposedly, this is everything you want for Penn State is back. There's a lot of unevenness in the Big Ten. Oregon's breaking a new signal caller. Ohio State is. Michigan's going with a true freshman and that Underwood kid. Everything is set up for Penn State. And you get Oregon at your place. It's time for Drew Aller to have some big balls and go win the Big Ten. If Drew Aller is the guy that people have been talking about for 3 years.
I thought he was pretty good in the Big Ten title game.
Yes.
And I feel like I don't know this to be true, but it in my head I think it's true that he was a lot better late last year.
Yes, it got better.
He got a lot better.
I have been on the we're making Drew Aller way more than he actually is, and there's signs of life there. Because he's just been atrocious in big games. But it got better, and now there's no excuses anymore. It's time for him to have the big boy pants put on and go.
These are the top 10 QB rooms in college football ahead of the upcoming season. Number 6 is Miami. They have Carson Beck.
Yeah.
They will have redshirt sophomore Emery Williams. He's been Miami's backup for 2 years now.
Yeah, he's played a little bit.
And they also have a freshman by the name of Luke Nickel.
Yeah, I would like to...
Who was a top 15 kid.
Like to state for the record, everything I said about Drew Aller, I would like to pin on Carson Beck. Do something.
I think some of it is that you get college quarterbacks who have NFL tools, mm-hmm. but they just haven't developed them yet.
Yeah.
That's why these guys get so much hype. Manning is just, I mean, it's his name.
It's his name.
But he has tools too. But Beck, Aller. I mean, oftentimes, like, how often do we see truly polished quarterbacks? Like, you have to have
sure
several years under your belt in college. Like, the Bo Nixes and the Dillon Gabriels, the thing that they have in common is they've been playing forever.
Yeah.
And now Beck's starting to get to that level. I don't know how many years he was at Georgia.
I just think we make excuses for these guys. And I get it. When you're young, there's going to be ups and downs. But like I said, I think the artificial hype train for college quarterbacks, there's nothing like it in sports. And I just don't – every year it happens. And every now and then you do get someone that grows and matures and they you know, see Bo Nix, right? Bo had this going into Auburn, and they talked about him, and you watched him play, and you're like, dude, that ain't it. And then he got to Oregon, and yes, like the light switch went on, and he was as good as can be. But you
some
know,
of them just need time.
Carson Beck, this is a put up or shut up year. I mean, much like Quinn Ewers. Like Quinn Ewers was supposed to be like a top five draft pick, and you kept waiting, and you're like, dude, he's getting worse. And Carson Beck was supposed to be the number one pick in the NFL draft after last year. And Carson Beck was the definition at Georgia last year of meh. And now he's in Miami, and it's go time. You know, this is like, are you a top five pick or are you fifth round pick?
Nothing says go time like Mario Cristobal's offense. You finished that sentence for me there.
Well, it's an interesting choice. I know they paid you a lot of money, but boy, you're putting your NFL career in the hands of someone really not known to develop quarterbacks.
All right, let's take a break because I know us and we'll go forever. We have the top five quarterback rooms in college football. And yes, you are missing a star quarterback returning, probably the best quarterback in college football. Some would say. We will get to that next on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi.
Ha.
What?
Ha
ha. What does a giraffe sound like?
Rawr.
Misfire.
It happens.
Ha!
Oops.
We are going through the top 10 quarterback rooms in college football. This is from Pro Football Focus.
I'm still kind of baffled by the one I'm missing, and I kind of feel like an idiot. That I'm, as you said, it's like a.
He's maybe the best returning quarterback in college football, but it's also one that you could easily.
It's just a brain fart. I'm sure could, when you say it, I'll be like, oh.
Well, you will, but it's also one you could easily overlook.
Okay.
Ohio State was 10, Alabama 9, Auburn 8, Penn State 7, Miami 6. Here are the top five. Clemson with Cade Klubnik.
Yeah.
He may be the top returning quarterback in all of college football.
Yeah, and Clemson was a little sketchy last year at the beginning of the year and then caught on late, ended up making the playoff. And there's some belief that maybe Clemson's back. You know, they started working the transfer portal a little bit. And I think the idea that maybe Dabo has pulled his head out of his ass finally.
Well, somehow they found an offense.
They found an offense.
So Klubnik's, you know, he's got some seasoning under his belt, he could really pop this year.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he was good last year.
Yeah. Well, and when you look at NFL projections, he's a top guy.
He's legit.
Yeah.
And they have a guy that they think is the future of the program behind him. He's a redshirt sophomore by the name of Christopher Vezina, and he was top 10 guy from the 2023 class.
Okay.
Number four is Florida, DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
He will be a true sophomore, and he is backed up by Louisville transfer Harrison Bailey.
Oh.
So
they got a little transfer 11 there.
They also have Clay Millen, who is back for another year. He was eighth among all FBS quarterbacks in 2022 with a 7.3% big time throw rate while at Colorado State.
All right.
Big time throw rate.
I love a big time throw
BTT.
Rate. Well, Lagwe was like what? I think he was like 7-1 as a starter. And, you know, it's his numbers aren't going to blow you away. I know he had some turnovers, but he's an athletic guy, moves around. And the fact that Florida was able to survive last season and the fact that he was a freshman, I think a lot of people are saying that Florida does not have diarrhea, that this could be a big bounce back year for Florida.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
And the top three quarterback rooms in college football for the upcoming season, according to Pro Football Focus, number three is Arizona State.
Yeah, Sam Levitt's.
Levitt's really awesome. Good. And he's young, too, right? Isn't he a sophomore now?
Is he a sophomore? Is he a junior?
I think he was a redshirt freshman last year.
He might be.
And then they have Jeff Sims as their backup.
This is his third year. Because he was in Michigan State for a year, then he was at Arizona State.
Yeah. But he redshirted, though, didn't he?
So it might be
his
third year,
so he could leave at the end still.
But it might be his third year, but he still could be a sophomore because of the red shirt. So
that's what I'm saying.
And by the way,
I think he's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. Last year he was a redshirt freshman. And he, towards the end of the year, dude, Levitt was
he's
legit.
Good.
Levitt's good. If you're Arizona State, you think your future is very, very bright, and hopefully you can keep him around.
Local guy.
If he has a big year, he may be gone after the season. Sims, that's not the Nebraska quarterback, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's their backup.
Oh my God. Protect Sam Levitt at all costs. Because no offense to that Sims kid.
Jeff Sims.
But having watched him at that name is burned into my brain.
He was real bad at Nebraska. Ugh. But what they're saying about him is he backed up Sam Levitt last year and he is experienced. You know, he was started at George Tech.
Yeah.
Then he started game. So he has 26 starts.
All right. So the fact that if you need him to come in, you know, he's not an inexperienced freshman.
Yeah. There's not a lot of programs that are going to have backups with
26 starts. I get that.
Number two, SMU, Kevin Jennings.
There you go.
He is backed up by Wisconsin transfer Tyler Van Dyke.
Oh, that's where Van Dyke ended up, huh?
They got some money over there at SMU.
Yeah, they do.
So, I mean, I don't know. I assume that Jennings is the starter, but
yes.
Van Dyke's taking a lot of money to be a backup.
Jennings is really good, and he came in at the start of the year. There last year, there was a QB competition, and so they didn't settle on the QB for a couple of weeks. I know, like when BYU played him, it was the other guy whose name escapes me. But once he settled in, dude, SMU's really good, and I always thought that maybe he was going to be a guy that someone else would lure away, but SMU's got money to keep guys, so I would expect big things out of him this year.
So Tyler Van Dyke, Kevin Jennings, they also have a guy by the name of Ty Hawkins, who is a four-star recruit in the 2025 class. So they're looking good. That is a hell of a quarterback room.
Yeah.
And then number one, the best quarterback room in college football, according to Pro Football Focus, is...
I don't know who I'm missing.
The guy you were missing, Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. Legitimate Heisman candidate. They're also rolling out their Mississippi State transfer, Michael Van Buren Jr. Mm. He was pretty encouraging in his true freshman season. He had to play both Texas and Georgia on the road, played pretty well, didn't turn it over. And they also have a couple of former four-star recruits, Juwan Johnson, I think is his name, and Colin Hurley. Mm. So they have four quarterbacks there.
I just kind of forgot about LSU because they came out of the gate and they lost to SC last year. And then they had like a 3 or 4 game losing streak towards the end of the year. And I just kind of forgot about it. Remember they kept crapping away games late, and I think it was Bama or Georgia, like, beat the brakes off
Bama. Milroe ran for, like, 300 on him. Their defense was really bad.
Defense was really bad. And so I just kind of, I don't know, it was, like, out of sight. Like, isn't it weird at a program like LSU? So they won what? They won 9 games, 10 games?
8 or 9. They lost to A&M. They lost to Bama. They lost to USC. And they lost to somebody else. Florida, maybe?
I'll pull it up here. Yeah. So they won 9 games last year. And I love, like, you win 9 games and it's like, I'm like, ah, LSU sucked. Like, that's like the sky is falling sort of
down
year for yeah, for them.
Yeah, so USC got them early.
And that was the one where everyone just kind of wrote them off. And then
they rebounded. They won their next six.
Yeah, and they beat Ole Miss. And then, yeah, they had the game against A&M. And yeah, Will was right. It was Bama. Bama just boat raced them 42-13.
So the Ducks, not on the list. They have, of course, Dante Moore. They have Novosad. They have Moga.
Yeah, I mean,
Luke Moga.
We're assuming that it's going to be.
Oh, Achilles Smith is there.
Junior, right? Yeah.
Well, not the old man.
No, no, no.
That would be
Achilles Smith Jr.
Well, he might be there to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those.
Does he have any eligibility left?
He seems like he's probably a very.
He was pretty good in college.
He's a very hands on sort of dad. I think he's might be one of those guys.
So, Oregon not on the list. But you know what? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
That I was reading about the Ducks today, and this kid by the name of Bryson Beaver is Boise. He was committed to Boise State. He's a quarterback. But the Ducks got him to decommit because he came to Oregon for a visit. I just want to point out that the Ducks could eventually have a quarterback room that has Ryder Lions and Bryson Beaver.
So two great names.
I want to point that out because that would be amazing.
That's like a hard
that belongs on the list. Yeah. Names alone.
Hey, BYU's going heavy after that Ryder Lions kid. He's a Mormon.
I know.
So we're trying to get some
my
of that.
My sources tell me that the Cougs have the inside track.
Trying to get some of that Mormon Jesus money to go his way. Be like, hey, come here. We'll take care of you. Yeah, I mean, I would assume that Oregon takes a small step back this year. There's a lot of uncertainty, especially at the quarterback position.
Are they going to have to count on their defense a little bit more?
Well, but this goes back to whether you're Alabama, whether you're Ohio State. If you're Oregon and you've really elevated yourself to one of those programs, if we're now going to consider Oregon to be a perennial top six or seven, eight program in the country, competing for conference titles, competing for national championships every year, going with an unproven quarterback, it shouldn't be a big deal. Ohio State is going with a kid that we've never seen before. Alabama's going with, now he's been in the program for a number of years, but Ty Simpson's only played in a handful of games. And we don't expect there to be giant growing pains. We expect you to come in, you take over the reins. And so we assume it's going to be Dante Moore, but maybe it's one of the others. Whoever it is, there shouldn't be a giant grace period. Like, you are expected to come in as a young man at a program like Oregon now. And now I'm not expecting you to play Heisman Trophy quarterback, which is what we've seen the last 3 years. And when I say a step back, I think a loss or two, but when the playoffs are your expectation, that should not change because you have a freshman quarterback or you have a first year starting quarterback, not at a program where it's loaded. You don't rebuild, you reload.
He started at UCLA
for a brief period of time, and it was not
how many. Well, but still, that's
it.
I mean, I think
it
that
wasn't great,
but that it, just because it wasn't great doesn't mean it doesn't help them become better. And I think that matters. Like, I'm gonna look up how many starts he had there.
I got it right here.
It's also an easier schedule too. So, like, aside from the whiteout game at Penn State, you don't run through a murderer's row like you did last year, where you had to play Ohio State and Michigan and Illinois and all these teams on the road. Wisconsin, no big bye. So, I think that's also gonna help them. You know, when you don't have to go through a gauntlet like you did last year, that slight step back might not even really be reflected other than like an extra loss.
He's played nine games.
How many did he start? I thought he was their starter for a while.
I will say of the nine games, and this is tough because it doesn't say what he started. In the nine games, one game he threw 12 passes, another one 12, 5, 7. So he played in nine games, and he played in one, two, three, four, five where he threw more than 12 passes. So
I'm just saying that I just
11
think
touchdowns, nine picks.
I just think it's good. He is a first year starter at Oregon,
but it's not his first
bowl. He has started college football games. He has started big games on the road against ranked teams. I mean, I think that is important just for nerves alone. And I think Will's right talking about, you know, just supporting him, like the run game, the defense. Like, the Ducks have it all, and that's going to help Dante Moore. He doesn't have to be Bo Nix.
No, I think the last couple of years, you have obviously relied heavily on the most experienced quarterback in college football. And I think with this one, you know, and maybe there's some growing pains and you have to win some closer games. You're not blowing teams out by 40, but you have the best running back in the country in the transfer portal coming in. You have the two best tackles that were in the transfer portal. They're both supposed to be first round picks. You've got an NFL guy anchoring the offensive line at center. You know, you have all these, maybe the most athletic tight end that you've ever had, who's got something to prove. You have all of these 4- and 5-star receiver kids that, again, it's unproven, but you have a lot of depth out there. But I would assume that when you come out that this is, we're running the ball and we're going to rely on that and we're going to ease whatever quarterback we have. I think you'll see a slightly different offense. Then, especially early on, and then maybe you get to Penn State, you get to the wideout, and then at that point, maybe the training wheels come off. But those first handful of games, I would expect you to run maybe a little bit more conservative, run heavy.
Yeah,
I mean, don't turn the ball over sort of offense.
You know, this is Lanning's fourth year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he had two with Bo Nix, one with Dylan.
Two with
Gabriel.
Bo Nix, yeah, one with Dylan, and yeah, this is year four.
I mean, again, he's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
So maybe the identity shifts a little bit when you don't have all that experience at quarterback.
Yeah.
They've certainly reloaded on D.
Yeah.
And he's a defensive guy. Maybe he's a little bit more conservative with that, and they rely on that more this year.
And maybe Dante Moore comes out and just lights the world on fire, and you're like, holy God, where did this come from? So, yeah. You know, you never know.
There is hot college football talk for you bros and you broettes out there.
Yeah, don't forget the Brillettes.
Sports guys.
People at the Sports Bra.
It's called Sport. Yeah, the Sports Bra. Love the Sports Bra.
Still haven't made it out there.
Shocking. Why?
It's called Sports.
The In the News is coming up next.
I love ITN.
Boy, I tell you, a couple of old people and dogs up in Vancouver got really lucky today.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't see this.
That will be next. But first, Will with SportsCenter. All right, nice to have you along. It is Thursday, radio program. More nice weather out there today, which is great. Good vibes all around. We are done fighting about Loverboy, and we're back to regularly scheduled programming.
Good music 2 days in a row, from Hot Beach Boys, Good Vibrations, to Loverboy.
We're a music show now.
Those two things are slightly different than one another, but, you know.
It is time now. Oh, damn it, I screwed it up.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm watching this rookie for the Brewers. This guy's supposed to be legit. Mizorowski or something?
Is this his first start? Or?
Yeah, this is his major league debut. He looks like he's 12, but he just threw it 100 miles an hour on his first pitch. Pretty good.
It is amazing that that kid who does look like he's 12 and weighs 115 pounds is throwing...
He's spindly.
100 miles an hour.
It is June 12, 2025. Time for In the News! I'm your Notre Newsman. Hello, thank you.
Ooh, boy, 102. And can I also say that sometimes when you watch guys throw, it looks like they're putting every bit of their ass into it. This kid is just, it looks pretty smooth. And yet that's 102?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
There he caught up to it. 101.
Yowzers.
Loser.
He's got a breaking ball. Thanks for coming.
Well, I would imagine he's not making his major league debut if he doesn't have another pitch or two. You know?
Well, yeah, so when you throw that hard, if you've got a nice little sweeper or something to go with it, like, I don't know. What do you do when someone throws 102 and then breaks off like 91 and down and away from you?
Pray.
It's like,
pitchers are really good these days.
Nothing you can do about that crap.
It is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Jerky Day. Thought you'd like that.
Shout out to my man Oli out there at Old Trapper.
There's his breaking ball. A little cutter.
Pretty good.
89. Although Nootbar laid off it. That guy's name is Lars Nootbar.
I know.
What do you think of that?
We were talking. He was a
Lars.
Yeah, he was a Red Sox for a while. Was there? There was something about him. We talked about.
We did talk about Lars Nootbar. What was it?
There was something strange about Lars Nootbar that we had a discussion.
The oddities of Lars Nootbar.
I forget.
I forget too.
But before I forget this, hey, jerky people, bring your prices down. My God. I shouldn't have to take out a second mortgage to get a big pack of beef jerky. It's so expensive.
It is also Magic Day.
Oh.
Magic's free.
Magic's free?
Well, I mean, you know.
Not good magic.
Theoretically.
Yeah, that's true.
I read a big thing on...
I like a good street magician? Like the sleight of hand stuff?
I read a good thing on the great, or maybe not so great, I don't know, David Blaine recently.
Yeah.
Did a big feature on him and like...
He's an interesting fellow.
Yeah, it was in GQ. It was a long read. I think it was GQ. But he is an interesting fellow. I did not... Let's just say I maybe underestimated him a little bit as kind of a goob and a, you know, whatever.
That's a weird, like...
That's it.
That's it? All right.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty good feature. I don't know. Is he interesting? Kinda.
I've seen interviews with him. He's a weird guy.
Yeah. I don't know that he's all that interesting, but he runs with, like, I didn't know he, like, ran Leo DiCaprio and all those bros.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's knee-deep in magic skush.
He's still out there doing bits.
And by the way, Lars Nootbaar, while we were talking about it, he plays for Team Japan.
That's right.
That's what it was.
Yeah. He didn't look Japanese at all.
No. But that was, like, where we were like, really? And your name is Lars Nootbaar and you play for Team Japan? Yeah, because he's of Dutch descent. But his mom, he's got a Japanese mother, but he grew up in California. But so he's not Japanese, but he's got a Japanese mom. So he played for Team Japan because he couldn't make the U.S. team. That's why we talked about Lars Nootbaar.
Hey, I tell you what, that Team Japan's pretty nasty.
Yes,
I mean, they got a lot of studs over there. Absolutely. I'd rather play for them. Did they win it? Who won it?
Team Japan did. Remember,
yeah, because Shohei struck out Mike Trout.
Yep.
Clark County Fire District 3 fighters.
I'm more of a District 4 man myself, but
do you ever look at that on their trucks and stuff?
What do you mean? Like, well, where they come from, or?
Well, yeah, because, like, for example, there was a big kerfuffle over here by us today.
Mm-hmm.
There were like 3 or 4 fire trucks, and then the chief was there, and he has his own truck, you know.
Yeah,
and it says that on there.
Yeah,
and then it says Battalion 1 or Battalion. I always like to look at that
and see what's going on.
You know, the different.
That's why I said I'm more of a 4 man. If 3 shows up, I'm like, you know, it's okay, but I'd rather 3 than 2. But kind of hoping 4 shows up. I heard 4's got all the good looking dudes on it. I heard the studs are on crew 4.
They got a good look going though. You know, the Portland Fire, they have the.
They
wear the suspenders, but then they have the blue. They have the blue Portland Fire T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of hunky.
Yeah, it's a good look. Yeah.
I mean, if you're into that sort of thing.
Firemen butts drive me nuts.
I'd like to see some fire women, quite frankly.
There are.
I haven't seen one.
There's fire women out there.
I want to see them.
They'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tell you first.
Trust me. A lot of tattoos.
Is that right?
Some shave sides, maybe.
A lot of, I can lift you up, big guy.
Yeah.
Softball players?
There you go.
Really?
There's some cute ones.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Thing.
Clark County Fire District 3 firefighters rescued an elderly couple and 2 dogs from a burning home in Southwest Battleground yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Or Tuesday, sorry. Was that yesterday? What is today?
Today's Thursday, so that would have been 2 days ago.
But get this. They did this because they happened to be across the street at a separate medical call.
Oh, well, there you go.
So they were treating a patient when crew members heard calls for help! Coming from outside and saw smoke and an older man leaning out of a bedroom window of a manufactured home.
Oh, boy.
Firefighters split into 2 groups, with some continuing to provide medical care at the original call and others going across the street to fight the fire. You know, that's why they're heroes.
Boy, that is you want to talk about the luckiest thing on earth? Like, you're an old person, you light your damn house on fire, and you're like, oh, my God, someone call for help. And they're like, they're already here.
Yeah, they might have died if the District 3, is that what?
District 3.
Wasn't across the street?
Yeah. The only thing this was a number of years ago, but I was walking in the old community where we see the ambulances and the fire trucks there.
I know.
All the time. And I was walking by, and it didn't look like it was a medical emergency, but they had the old lady on the gurney, you know. And they were out there, although she seemed pretty happy. I think a lot of times they like the firefighters to show up. And they were chatting with her and whatever, and someone came from across, so I was walking the dog, someone came from a house across the street and like one up and we're like, we need you. And so the same sort of thing. They There was two medical emergencies at the old folks community, just kind of kitty corner to one another. And I thought to myself, I wonder how often that happens. Where,
hey, while you're at it.
Well, yeah, because the one guy was like, hey, I'm not certain if we need you guys or not, but you're here. And can you come take a quick peek over here? And I just thought, I wonder how often that happens in the old folk community where someone's like, hey, can you just pop on over here and take a quick look at this?
My wife's been down for 2 days.
Every day, though. I mean, every single day, they're showing up.
They entered the burning home. They discovered a second person. An older woman was still inside. They located and removed both occupants, who were passed on to emergency responders for medical care.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And the dogs, right?
Yep, got the dogs, too. They did suffer from smoke inhalation and other smoke inhalation burns, second and third degree burns. I mean, it was bad.
Gosh.
They were about to go.
Well, yeah, they got second degree burns.
Third degree burns.
Oh, third degree.
Second and third degree.
Yikes. That is, yeah, honestly, that is just someone smiling down on the olds in Battleground.
The other thing.
You are damn lucky.
The other thing District 3 fire crews did is the dogs were both out and they...
Corralled them?
They were passed out. They had to revive the dogs.
Oh, jeez.
And they revived the dogs.
You know what? I'd like to officially change my stance.
D3, bro.
I'm no longer a District 4 man. I'm officially throwing my support behind the District 3 bros.
Join the Hawkinson crew, man.
Is that District 3?
Of course.
Clearly.
Is it?
District 3. Let's go.
Well, we love District 3 in Hawkinson.
This was in Battleground.
Yeah, but Battleground and Hawkinson kind of like right
they're there. Neighbors.
Yeah, they're neighbors. But wow. if you're resuscitating passed out dogs, District 3, you're my guys now.
What heroes? And so it begins. That's right. We have a fire.
What?
We have a fire.
Well, we just talked about a fire. We have a different fire?
No. Wildfire.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. We got it. Yeah.
Rowena Fire?
Yeah, they're saying already it's
Wasco County?
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be a bad...
It's going to be a bad year.
It's going to be a bad year.
This one is human-caused. The fire is still burning between Mosier and the Dalles. Mm. It was strong overnight, and they actually had to close Interstate 84 in both directions at one point, but it is now reopened.
But 30 is still closed, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I said, because depending on where you're at over there, they already have level 3, 2, and 1 evacuation orders. So they're saying it's bad. I was, and the one guy, the guy who was in charge of it was saying that, like, it's already, he said it was like mid-July conditions.
Oh, great.
He said it's not good.
Yeah, already 20 homes have been destroyed since it broke out. Yep. 30 mile per hour winds yesterday.
Yeah, it's bad.
Moving that bitch along. Yeah. And the fire is at 0% contained.
Not good. Not good. If only my District 3 bros were out there, they'd wrangle this. They'd lasso this fire. Save some animals while they're at it. I always feel terrible. I mean, there's way worse things about wildfires, but I just, the wild animal part of it, like, really gets to me. Just the idea of, like, everything in that forest that lives there, like, they got nowhere to go. Like, they're, just the idea of, like, an entire woodland family just being burned out, that gets me.
How much is a living wage in Portland per hour? What percentage of entry-level jobs hit that mark?
I'm guessing not enough.
that we will have for you next on In the News on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is In the News, June 12, 2025. Hi. Well, Jace, it's not looking good out there for entry-level job pay in Portland.
No, I don't think it's looking good entry-level pay anywhere. That's really...
Well, it is.
As Will just shakes his head about that. No.
Will, what do you think?
I think that bald 27-year-old white men need to be paid more. That's my stance.
Will will not,
strange flex.
Will will not be replaced.
Well, I could be replaced. I'd just like to be replaced for more money.
Well, it is bad here compared to other places. A new wave of employees entering the workforce following high school and college graduations. But in Portland, they enter a job market where the percentage of entry-level jobs paying a living wage is one of the lowest in the country. This is according to a new analysis by online lender NetCredit.
What is the old living wage? Is that like per hour? Or are we doing like per year?
This is based off of per hour because, you know.
Well, I've seen a lot of entry-level jobs now that are like $20 an hour, and I'm guessing that's not going to be a livable wage.
That is definitely not.
So we go in like $30?
Well, just hold on. So this is from the MIT Living Wage Calculator. How about that? Did you know they have a living wage calculator over there at MIT?
Well, those MIT bros. And broettes. Very smart.
And job postings from Indeed.com. Okay, so that's how they got the data. The analysis looked at the cost of living for one adult without children in the 100 largest metro areas to determine the percentage of entry-level jobs that paid a living wage. In Portland, a living wage is considered to be $27.47 an hour.
Okay, so right, I was close to that $30.
But of the job listings, only 43.8% of those jobs were offered wages high enough to be considered a living wage. This is not good.
So less than half the people that are getting jobs...
They aren't getting paid a living wage. This is a problem.
So you either have to like have a bunch of roommates, or you got to be married, dual income sort of thing.
The lowest city,
poverty, right?
Where it was the worst, is Miami. Where only 34% of jobs offered livable wages. Atlanta was slightly better than Portland at 45%, and Orlando 45.7%. Those are the worst in the country.
I've always wondered that. Like, when you live in a place like Miami or San Francisco, even Seattle, you think it's bad here, go up to Seattle. Like, how do you, if you're just a person and you grad, like, where do you live? Like, how do you live in those cities? I'm not even talking about like buying a house because that ain't happening.
You know, that's a good question. I have a buddy whose daughter just graduated from what's the school in Walla Walla?
Walla Walla Community College?
No.
Whitman.
And her and her boyfriend are setting up shop in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I wondered that very same thing. I'm like, wow, that's got to be pricey.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. I'm going to find out though.
Yeah.
I'm on the case.
You just like when you're like, I mean, it's one thing if you come out and you're like, you know, you come into a good job, but for people that are just trying to dip their foot into the workforce, dude, that thing is brutal.
So this says, a household is considered cost burdened when it spends more than 30% of its income on rent and utilities. You can also factor in expenses such as childcare, food, internet, mobile, medical, transportation, annual taxes. You've got rates pretty high, you know.
Yeah. It's not good out there.
No.
It's tough.
Very tough.
I know my boy is, he's getting ready to finish up here pretty soon at school, and I know he's sweating it a little bit, because he went in for like, he was doing like coding, he's like computer science, and I don't know if you've seen right now, but a lot of computer science bros, when he started that a number of years ago, it's like, oh, that's the job. And now there's this one thing called AI
that's
taking away all the jobs in tech. And he's stressed a little bit.
So you got home prices that are high, you got high mortgage rates, and you have rents. Rents are high.
Yes.
It's high.
This rent is too damn high.
A lot of people saying rents are high.
A lot of people
saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
So there you go. I'm glad I'm past all that.
$27, livable wage, huh?
Yeah, to be exact, $27.47 an hour in Portland would be a livable wage for someone single with no kids.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, that is tough. Because I remember back when we were young.
Yep.
Here's the back in my day portion of the program.
Yeah, back in my day.
I mean, what'd we make? Like I mean, I remember when minimum wage was like $6, $5. I'm not kidding.
We used to laugh all the time, but in the summertime, me and my idiot friends had jobs being janitors, and it paid a whopping $6 an hour, and we would work a whopping 4 hours a night, and the idea that you were putting 24 damn dollars right in your pocket.
Seriously.
What in the hell?
And then if you worked in the restaurant industry, it was even less, because they knew you made tips, so they would only pay you like $2 an hour. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even worth cashing your paychecks.
No. It's just that it's
absurd.
It can be depressing.
Z-Buck, or wait, what's your name? Will?
You'll get it right eventually.
Really?
Well, hey, that's for all stock. Keep going
it's
up.
Insane.
Come on, Palantir. Keep going up.
It could be worse for you, you know.
it could be worse.
Somehow I'm trying to make it sound
like it can
like
sometimes
we had
be better.
Worse.
It can always
be worse.
I've got a couple jobs. One of them makes over that amount of money per hour. One doesn't.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Hey, one's plenty.
Yeah, lean into that one.
You're living off of... But I think that's what the kids do now. What do they call it? Side hustles.
Side
They got two or three things going at once.
I think that's just called working like a mule.
Well, got your OnlyFans?
Sell some drugs.
I'm trying, dude.
Yeah, start your OnlyFans. Sell some drugs.
I'm out here, man. I'm getting mani pedis. We're working on it.
Get into some nefarious things.
That is in the news June 12, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Up next... What is up next, you ask? What is the best new quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL? When we return on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.